Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast, the podcast that will help you embrace, grow, and be transformed by the transitions of life. Now here's your host, Debbie Ronka.
Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast. I'm Debbie Ronka, your host. And hey, thank you for coming to listen today. And I would love to just take a moment to encourage all of you to share the Transition Bridge Podcast with your friends. I have so enjoyed all of the new listeners coming in. So thank you for sharing. And also, if you feel you have a transition story that you would love to come on and share, please email me at debbieronka@gmail.com or connect with me on my website at debbieronka.com. And don't forget, I always have for you that free transition assessment. It's there in my show notes. All you have to do is click on the link. So now, thank you for all of that. Let's get to our topic today. I have on the podcast today a wonderful and amazing father, Gary Martinez. I've met Gary a couple years ago, and I've always been impressed following his journey, his passion and heart as a father towards his children. Gary's passion is to help autism parents who struggle with low energy using a lifesaver system to build their recovery. Gary, welcome. Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast. And I know you have such a powerful story to share. And as I just said, I've been so touched by the journey from what I know up to this point. So I'm excited to have you come on and share your mission for people, and just why don't you just take us from the beginning with your beautiful daughter, Monica.
Yeah, thanks, Debbie. Excited to be here. Thank you for having me on. So when I found out from the doctors, you know, that Monica was she was diagnosed with autism, also sensory processing disorder, I didn't know what those words even meant at that time. So you know, I was confused. I actually felt like a failure as a parent at the time, because I just didn't know how to help her. And I started to feel emotionally, physically, mentally just drained just from that. At that time, Monica could not speak. So she was nonverbal. She couldn't express herself. All I could do was watch her throw herself on the floor, arch her back, yell, scream, cry, turn red. So what changed for me was that later we discovered the interventions that we had to go through first. And then to go with that, I would assign myself homework, some self-education. I asked these therapies and places, what are some books I can read? Who are your mentors? I was asking all kind of questions. I wanted to go home and learn as much as I could about autism sensory processing disorder so I can help my daughter out through her day. And then shortly, some time after that, Monica started to talk. So it was a combination of some therapies that we had. And then I started to see what a bright light she was and some things that were really important to her in her world. So discover that, you know, there are certain activities that we had to do as a routine throughout the day to help her body and her brain both connect to be friends so she can have like the best day possible. So we create our own routine. We have our own flavor. And for her, it's kind of like from that therapy where we learned that her favorite thing to do was swinging to today, right now, as she's 16 years old, it's still swinging. There's a little twist to it. We added some flavor to that, but still swinging is like her primary favorite thing to do. So we started to swing at school playgrounds, specific playgrounds, as she wanted to go to certain ones for just because of like the swing, just the environment, and so forth. And not only was she swinging on these swings, having fun, but we started to add things to that. We started to sing songs because now, you know, she can talk. She loved to sing songs. So that was like another, like her own self-therapy to herself. So I look at it like a Christmas tree that lights up. Her brain and body were both were lighting up like a Christmas tree, because she was swinging, getting this input to her body, this body awareness that she craves. And then she was singing a song, something that she likes, just like us, like a favorite song that I may have. We know how it starts, we know how it ends, and we know how it makes us feel. So for Monica, the way she's put together and wired is that she loves to do the same thing over and over every day. So I had to learn that part, that to her, it's therapeutic to her. So we would sing these songs, the same ones over and over. We would swing over and over. And it turned out to be like what I call when you exercise at the gym, if you warm up first, you're more prepared for the workout. So in order for us to have the best day, if we do 15 to 20 minutes of some type of activities, and then add singing and talking and conversations and talking about her favorite movie characters and so forth, it sets her up for success throughout the day, where our kids can have about 6 to 8 hours of just more of a fluid day. So we did this warm up for years when we started going to school, before we went into the school, where there's all these sounds, there's all these smells, there's all these different things that you can't control. But doing these activities beforehand, getting to school early, making that a priority, was a game changer for Monica. So in a nutshell, that's how we started out the first half of our life. And we still do routines up until today.
So there really was a lot of structure that you put in place that really helped her. So let me ask you this, Gary. So it sounds like Monica was a little older when you found, so it wasn't something you found out at birth. You weren't prepared for her to have autism. Was she like a few months old or a year old at the time?
It was about 4 years old, but it could have been even closer to five. The funny thing is, well, it's not funny per se, but when girls get diagnosed, it's a little different, because mainly it's boys who, there's more boys who are diagnosed with autism. So for girls, sometimes it's a little different. So they aren't exactly sure. So we have to go to some different types of specialists. So yeah, she should have been speaking at that time, but she was not. So it took some different types of specialists to determine she had autism plus her sensory processing disorder.
So take me back to that time when you finally did find out. Now, I didn't realize more boys were diagnosed with autism than girls. I did not know that. So from a parent's perspective, a father's heart, once you found out that, she had autism, like, how did you prepare yourself and your family? And what were some of the fears that you even had as a father? Like you were saying, like in the beginning, like, how was I going to handle this? So what were some of your fears and struggles for yourself, or even thinking about Monica's future?
I felt like there was like a rope tied on me, like my arms, like I just felt kind of helpless. Like I didn't know, what to do, because, not only was she not talking, but she was like, she wasn't responding to you calling her name and all those kind of simple things. She didn't want to play with you. She was more isolation mode. So I was living in fear, because that was something I've never, seen before. And, a young child. So I was feeling pretty helpless at that time.
That I can so understand that, because it's not like you had a manual to know what to do, and just all of that unknown. And I really admire you for the way that you jumped in and did a lot of self-education to equip yourself, right?
Yeah, I told myself, okay, I was like, enough is enough. Like no more victim mentality to myself. I decided to become an athlete for Monica's life. So I said, I need to start to learn. So, going to these therapies, like I said earlier, I became a student, then a practitioner. I took everything that we learned and I brought it home. I didn't want her, like I said earlier, she was, she would throw herself on the ground and have these meltdowns, which is not their fault. It's just when something triggers them in an environment, their brain is no longer functioning normal for them, so they can't control what's going on. So I just made it a point to learn and stay up late and to bring all that homework home and implement it. And then, you know, that started to turn the corner for her. And so that was a nice turning point right there for her. And it gave me more confidence that I was learning something and it was helping her. So that was a big plus.
Like a celebration time, I'm sure you felt in your heart, like, I have found something that works, that you're like, I can just see you like so depositing and imparting to your daughter because you so wanted her future, your vision for her. You wanted it to be better. You wanted it to be stronger. And I love what you've implemented. Now, I know you're really passionate about nutrition, some of the things that I've kept up with on your Facebook page. So what have you discovered about nutrition with autism?
That, you know, there are some foods that can, that are troublemakers. You know, every kid is different, so our bodies are different. And I just learned that there are some foods at the time that were causing her to have hyperactivity, causing her to have, you know, low energy and things like that. And I started to log it. I started to write it down. I started to trace it. And then I started, and then I learned from nutritionists and then going deeper to current of some foods that we needed to stay away from so it wouldn't cause a behavior thing for her, which is not her fault, you know, and I didn't know either at the time. So I had to learn as well. And then, you know, a lot of our kids start out as really picky eaters, only eat a couple of foods. And that was us, you know, Monica only ate chicken nuggets for a long time. And it has to do, for a lot of us, it has to do with textures and the certain taste and what it does to us. And so what I did to change that as I started to get deeper into nutrition and learn more about it was I was like, you better get creative, man, because you got to learn. You, the more you know and see what your child likes to do, the more it helps you out to help them out. So what I did was, she's very deep into Disney. So a lot of girls are deep into these Disney characters because they get emotionally attached to them. They want to be like them. So at this time, she liked Alice in Wonderland. So I was like, okay, I'm going to grab this yellow banana and I'm going to tell Monica, hey, Monica. And I told her, I'm going to eat this yellow banana for Alice's blonde hair because I want her to keep it forever. And that makes, you know, that makes Monica happy when I say that, that I care about something that's deep to her. So shortly after that, she said, me too. And then for the first time, you know, she took a bite of something else. So that was like a very special moment. And from then on to today, we eat different, we eat better now. And she relates everything she eats to like a character in a movie that she likes. So she may eat today a red apple for Mulan, the Disney character, the warrior. Yeah. And that's how we've been doing with our food and eating better. And she likes it because she knows it's good for her now. And she's really wanting to be as healthy as she can because she wants to be like some of her Disney characters that they're healthy. You know, they move well and they look in good shape. So she wants to mimic that. So we even Google stuff to confirm, like, yep, she, Mulan had to train for the movie. Like, you know, we're watching the real life version. Yeah, she had to train. She had to, you know, she had to eat better. She had to do some exercises. And she's like, that's what we do. So I was like, yeah, we can just do, you know, a little more. Or what we do is we make it creative. So like favorite scenes that she has, I will mimic the scene and we'll add our own flavor to it. So I'm pretending like I'm the evil character and that I'm doing this and she has to like duck or turn. And what it turns into is she's now doing exercise. And then after that, we eat something that's, you know, healthy for us and she gets a win-win right there. So we like to be creative. We like to have flavor. And you have to be very spontaneous on the spot to create that. And for some reason, I've learned how to be spontaneous and how to pay attention to her favorite interests so I can use it as tools for her.
I am amazed by your creativity. That is like the food with the character, and you found what her passion was. I love that. Like, instead of standing back and trying to figure it out, you pressed in and you discovered something so precious. I think I saw, wasn't she a character recently on Facebook?
Oh man, she's quite a few. She's Mulan a lot. I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
Tell me, go get a haircut right now. She says, Dad, let's Google Mulan short hair, for example. And she'll say, I'll pick the image. So she picks the image. I save it to my email drafts. We take it to the hairstylist. We show her. The lady loves her. So they have a very good connection. And that's her haircut nowadays. It's characters to a movie. And so it was probably most likely Mulan. She's had a few different others, but Mulan is the current leader in that department.
You just reminded me. That's what I saw, the new haircut. And Monica was adorable. She was radiant. And that's where I just applaud you as a father, that you are in the moment with her and you've learned to understand how to serve your daughter in such a beautiful way. I have a question. You were talking about nutrition and the different things that triggered her. Is it different for every autistic child? Do they all have different triggers with foods? Is that like a discovery process for a parent?
I know what works for us, and I'll just say, you know, we're all different. So everyone's body's different, period. What may not work for one person's body could work for somebody else's. It's just, you know, we just may be stronger in different parts of our body and nothing's going to happen to us yet. So I would say it's our job as a parent to really study our kid and see, you know, with nutrition, you know, if we're being affected by something. And then that teaches us that, okay, maybe this is food we need to take out. And what are some good ones to put in? And for us, we do everything. And my motto is simple like a pimple. So, you know, we start with one thing at a time. So, you know, it was that banana. The banana was, you know, the leader for a while. And then we opened the door in time to, you know, try something new. So I say you just got to keep it simple and pay attention. And then, you know, log it, whatever you have to do to track it, just to be on top of things.
So how do you help parents? You know, you help autism parents that have low energy and you have a lifesaver system. Can you share with us what you do?
Yes. So, you know, to take a step back real quick, you know, that was me in the beginning when Monica was diagnosed. I was running on fumes, you know, and mentally and physically. So I decided to hold myself accountable and start taking care of myself better. If I wanted to be around longer, if I wanted to continue to have fun with her in life, I got to take myself seriously. So I started to create a routine on my own that I've been doing for, you know, a number of years. And, you know, it's a four-step process. And, you know, the first one is self-care, which is using stretching and exercises. And I also modify those because we're all on different levels. So it's doable for everybody. My second strategy is the fuel. So it's, you know, it's food choices, it's smoothies, it's drinks that, you know, are different types of forms of energy. Because as an autism parent, you know, we wanna have that at home and on the go, because we're on the go a lot. And we're also at home a lot. It just depends, because our day and our schedule is so unique. The third strategy is accountability. So it's strategies for self-discipline, self-talk, and posture. Not like posture as our body like this, but posture on how we handle things. So we can develop that no-quit energy mentality, especially when we feel stuck at home or on the go, because days get hard and life comes at us, and it's just to armor ourselves with that type of mentality. And the last strategy is just recap. So it's, you know, going over a summary of all these steps again, just to reinforce them, so you can start building that unlimited energy now, so you can have fun with your kid at home or on the go.
That is really, I could see how powerful that would be, because as a parent, you would kind of need some kind of a routine that is consistent, familiar, but also feeds your soul, so you have the energy to be able to minister to your child. And so you've birthed this just out of your own experience. So I know you talked about the fatigue and feeling burned out. Like, if you could describe the struggles, like so our audience can have even more understanding, you know, the struggles and that an autistic parent deals with every day.
Okay, so, you know, for one, like I was talking about earlier, a lot of our kids are very repetitive, doing things that they like. And at the beginning, man, that wore me out. That was a different kind of workout. So I was, you know, I was emotionally and mentally drained. That was a workout I never knew about. But that's important to them. It's them giving themselves their own therapy when they need it, if something is just too much for them in their environment. And then, you know, it takes a lot of services our kids have to go to help themselves out. Like we said earlier, there's, you know, we had speech therapy for talking, just some of the basics. You know, there's occupational therapy for your body to help them out, and the list goes on. So as we're going to all these different types of therapies, these appointments, and then at home, we got to continue the support train. It's a lot. It takes a lot out of you. So it is a struggle. And I told myself that, you know, not only do I have to take care of myself, but I also have to schedule it. So I have to schedule my time before Monica wakes up. I got to get up early in order to start to win the day. I have to win the day with myself by doing a routine of exercise and eating and maybe some meditation to prepare myself for that day. So when she wakes up, I'm at my best, so I can give her my best, so she can have her best day possible. So it's simple, but it's not easy. But, you know, it's all very rewarding because you want to help out that person.
I love the fact that you get up early. It is all about just being prepared for the day emotionally, physically, mentally. That's just wisdom. That's just pure wisdom, Gary. I love that you do that. Now, you mentioned to me you have an ebook. Is it called Living Through Their Eyes?
It is. I don't know why I made a long title, but I did. So it's Living Life Through Their Eyes, Our Journey Together on the Autism Spectrum.
And is that something, well, tell us, you know, what that's about, and is that something that you would like to offer to our audience?
Sure. So the book it's like a playbook. It's not a very long book. It's me giving back because, you know, in the beginning, I felt alone. I felt, you know, scared, and mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do, like I said. So this book is like for the new autism parent or just to learn about, you know, autism and, you know, how that is, because, you know, this is global and there's more kids who are going to be diagnosed. So I wanted to give back because I would feel guilty if I didn't share what has helped us. So in a nutshell, the book is about just a little general history about what autism is, letting you know what some of the therapies are that you can expect your kid to go through. And then the story, the most powerful part, I believe, is the story of sharing things that Monica has gone through in her life, her ups and her downs, and rooting for this person, and to see what simple things make a difference in somebody's life. Because I think we need to go back to the simple things in life, because we're bombarded with so much noise in the world. And then I also have some book contributors. So, you know, experts in their respective fields, like massage therapy, for example, things that can help our kids out that perhaps we can do for them at home. So that's the book in a nutshell for you.
You know, I love that. And you know, we never get to clarity alone. We're not meant to walk alone. We're meant to be a part of a village. And I love the fact that you are sharing from your own personal pain and struggle and disappointment, but then you've created, like you've made beauty from the ashes and bringing something to every parent that needs this. It just sounds like it's just filled with practicality, things that are easy to do, but are life-changing at the same time, and also bringing strength and health to your child. Is that something that I could put in my show notes? Do you have a link, or do you want people to contact you for this ebook?
Absolutely. You know, I do have a link for it, so I can, you know, provide that for you.
Sure. Just make sure everyone goes to the show notes and get that ebook from Gary. And it's probably something you can also share with a friend. And, you know, in fact, here's one of my final questions to you. What would be your advice to you? What would be your word of encouragement or wisdom for friends or family members that know of another person that has an autistic child? In other words, how can we step into that arena and help parents of autism?
That's a good question. I would say to ask that person, you know, especially if they want to spend time with them, to get to know them a little better and to be a part of their world and their life, is just to ask, like, you know, what is, you know, like their favorite thing to do, and what are some things that they don't like, so they understand both pieces. So you don't want to accidentally do something that would bother them. So, you know, knowing both of those pieces, you can learn something that they like. And, you know, if it's like a favorite song, you can watch it on YouTube over and over, and you can get familiar with the lyrics. So when you have this little spending time part, you can be in their world and share that song with them, and that can make them happy. So happy that, you know, within time, or who knows, because we don't know, maybe that same day that kid can open up to you and want to share a little bit more of their world with you, and you can now make a friend. And that's like a good start right there, because right now in the world, you know, we need to be, like you said earlier, more together on this journey of life, doing things together, because life is not promised tomorrow, and we need more unity in the world. So I say start there first.
What would you say, like, what, as an autism parent, what were some of the things that you wish you heard from the community that you never heard? Like, what were some of the things you wish your friends said to you that you longed to hear in that time when you needed some encouragement? What would you have longed to have heard?
I guess that people were just more understanding, to listen and to want to include you in their life a little bit, because I would say, going back to, you know, it's kind of like I can think of it like it was yesterday, that it was hard to hang out with people or to be included, because our kids are a little different and not everybody you know, is flexible to work with that. But I think it goes back to responsibility on myself, that I do have to share with people that we're a little different, and that way we can both have that time together.
I do. I wanted you to answer that, because I think we all need to have more understanding, more compassion, less judgment. Because I think sometimes when people don't understand something, they have a tendency to judge. You know, maybe they're not doing a good job, or maybe they should do this, but they really don't understand. I think what we all need in life is more compassion and understanding. And can you just be present with me? Can you just be a friend? Can you just share a kind word? I think that's what I would like to receive.
Yeah, and I can add to that, just being a good listener turns you into a better communicator. And like you said, now you're thinking with your heart and your compassion, and you're accepting and loving of their differences. And that's what makes the world great, is that we're each different.
I think what you've encouraged me to do today, Gary, I don't know why I feel like I'm going to cry, but I feel like when I'm out and about now and I see a parent with an autistic child, I just kind of want to go up and say, hey, I just think you're an awesome parent. Thank you for loving your son, or thank you for loving your daughter. I feel like I just have to say that phrase just to let that parent know that they're seen and that I know this is not easy. And I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, because, you know, that is what I've recently committed myself to do in some of these support groups, where these parents are, you know, they're sharing their story and the difficulties. And the first thing I do is what you just said, is I affirm them, because they probably don't get that from nobody, or very rarely. So it's good to let them know, like you said, that they're doing a good job. And, you know, I know you're doing such a great job doing so and so. I just wanted to let you know, because they could be having a bad day and you can turn their frown upside down.
It's like giving a drink of water to a thirsty soul that just needs to know you're recognized, and it's not easy, but hey, I just want to thank you. Yeah. And Gary, what would be your final piece of advice to parents of autism? I know we've shared a lot, but is there anything else that's just bubbling up inside of you that you just want to say right now to every parent listening?
It's kind of just adding a little bit to the affirmant that, hey, you're doing the best job possible. So even on those days when you perhaps think that you are not, stop and give yourself credit, you know, give yourself a little hug or a pat on the back. Show yourself that physical love, and, you know, keep going. Your kid loves you. Your kid loves everything that you are doing for them. So you are worthy.
That's beautiful. Well, I'm so touched and honored that you were here today on the podcast. I just think you brought so much valuable insight to all of us to learn and to understand. And I just celebrate what you've done with Monica. I've actually watched her progression over the last couple years of just your intentional love, diligence, perseverance, all your playground photos, swinging. It's, you know, you're such an amazing father, Gary. And I just want to thank you for who you are and how you're being used to really be a light and a source of help for all autism parents around the world. I pray that what it is that you have created just is multiplied and just reaches the other ends of the earth, because everyone needs what you have created.
Thank you so much. I hope, you know, this creates a little positive spark for people so it can add value to them in their day.
Absolutely. Well, how can people get in touch with you? I know I'll have your contact information in my show notes, but it's always good to share it as well.
Sure. My Facebook, my Messenger, which is, you know, my name, Gary Martinez, and then Junior afterwards, you can send me a message and contact me right there.
Okay. And I'll make sure I put that in the show notes. Well, Gary, again, thank you for being with us today on the Transition Bridge podcast, where we all come together as a village to embrace, grow, and be transformed by the purpose and power of transition.
Thank you for joining us today on the Transition Bridge podcast. We appreciate you. If you enjoyed listening today, please go ahead and subscribe or review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to check out the show notes. And for more information about Debbie, go to debbieronca.com. That's debironca.com.